2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and go!
Welcome back to Walk It Off. It's been a little bit, I feel like, but maybe not that long since I've talked to all of you guys. But now we're back to business, and we have Jessica Luther on the phone. She's the author of Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Jessica, we really cannot thank you enough for chatting with us on Walk It Off today. We saw you a few months ago. You had a book signing in New York with Katie Nolan, and it was really cool to hear you talk so in depth and personally about your book. So we're kind of just going to jump right in. So Jessica, you were recently on Outside the Lines to talk about former Baylor AD Ian McCaw and his hiring at Liberty University. You also wrote a piece for ESPNW. So you have been busy. People are coming to you for a lot of reasons. Obviously, you're extremely knowledgeable on these subjects and you have experience with these victims and you have experience with the families and also with the universities. And this culture that's been created. So I'm wondering, what else have you been working on? What's going on in your world right now?
Oh yeah, well, this topic is sort of the never-ending topic. So I'm always sort of dealing with this. Dan Solomon and I, we were together, broke the Baylor story back in August of 2015, and we've actually been working on a feature about Baylor for the last 10 months or so, and we're hopeful that it will come out sometime early next year. We'll see. So that's taken up a lot of my time recently, and then I'm going to write another book with Kavitha Davidson from ESPNW, a book for the conscientious sports fan. It's called How to Love Sports When They Don't Love You Back,
mm-hmm.
And we are working on that because that's due early next year too.
And obviously, so we saw you in New York a few months back at your book signing for Unsportsmanlike Conduct, and you kind of explained what this experience has been like for you and how people have reached out to you, and it's been maybe difficult on your end, you know, talking to these people and hearing all of these stories, it can be kind of drowning. But has anything positive come from this from your end?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's definitely... You know, the emotional work of this was not something I anticipated when I got into it, and that is a part of it, sort of managing my own emotional health around taking on people's trauma. But at the same time, it's such a powerful thing to have people trust you with their stories and want to share those with you. And, you know, the first piece I ever wrote with a survivor was in December of 2014 about a small school, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And as soon as we published, they scrapped their old Title IX policy and started to write a new one, make sure that they were going to do better in the future. You know, everything that's happened at Baylor has been sort of surreal to watch as someone who first reported on this, to have had any impact, you know, in a way that might help survivors feel safer or more comfortable in whatever environment moving forward is very powerful for me and something that I hold on to. And the work has definitely mattered. Survivors reach out to me to tell me that as much as to tell me their stories.
And just kind of piggybacking off of that, you know, if you could say you have one hope for all of the work that you've done and the reporting that you've done with others, what would you say that one overall hope would be?
I mean, my hope is that we're making a safer world, mitigating the harm. You know, I never say that I think it's going to end, right? But mitigating it is sort of the overall goal. I mean, it's hard to say one thing, right? Like, I want to say, I want the media to hold people accountable at the top of the system when these kind of issues come forward. And having any role in that is important to me, sort of shifting the conversation around this. So there's like a huge goal and then there's a smaller one.
As with anything, I think, that journalists are working on. But, I mean, that's I think that's all that anyone could ask as well.
Hey, Jessica, this is Ashley. Thanks again for doing this. So Sarah Swain just released her podcast about sexism in sports, and it was fantastic. But we do have some questions about your thoughts on that. So the next 4 years might be a little – we might be in a little different environment than – what we usually were, and for females starting to get into the world of sports, what is your recommendation for them to get into this world? We don't want them to be discouraged or anything like that. What would you think a good first step is in how to overcome sexism in sports?
Part of it is finding your group of women within sports media that you turn to when you either overwhelmed by the response or you just need some kind of encouragement. My female peers have been instrumental in me being able to get through the tougher parts of this work. But also, like, really basic stuff. Like, I had to learn the hard way not to read comments.
Yeah.
And that sounds so basic, but you do sort of, you know, you want feedback. You're a writer, you know, or if you're on television, if you're part of this, like, you do want feedback. Like, that's part of how you get better. Figuring out which spaces are actually productive feedback and which are just damaging to you can be a very difficult process. And I had to learn that the hard way, as I think probably most of us do. And I haven't been reading, I haven't read a comment on anything over 2 years because of such, I had such a horrible experience once. And I'm better for it, I think. You know, if you're going to be on social media, which you I think you have to be at this point, you have to get used to blocking, muting, you know, just letting it roll, picking your fights if you're going to pick them at all. Those kind of things. And it's hard. It's hard to learn those lessons to when to engage and when not to, and how to take care of your mental health in the middle of all of this.
Speaking of picking fights, former Baylor AD Ian McCall was hired at Liberty University, and I imagine you've been fielding a lot of questions about that. What kind of message do you think Liberty is sending, especially in light of your reporting on the situation at Baylor?
Yeah, you know, the thing that bothers me the most about the Liberty case is, or Liberty hiring McCall, is that there were, I mean, in the initial press conference, they did not even reference what had happened to Baylor. And I think that's, for me, the most concerning. I don't, you know, we can talk endlessly about second chances and who deserves them and what they should look like and all those sorts of things. But if you are going to offer that second chance, which, you know, a lot of us would look at it like that for McCall right now, at least tell us what this man learns. Like, what did he learn from his experience at Baylor? What's he going to do differently moving forward at Liberty? Like, why should they trust this, their institution? Why should students trust the institution's hiring? And I think part of what gets lost a lot in the Baylor story is that, you know, while we can sort of name, there's 17 football players reported over 5 years, you know, there's other athletes as well. Some of the people reporting those athletes were female athletes. Right. Mm-hmm. So some, like, an athletic director is taking these issues on, not just from sort of the preventative side with the players who might commit this kind of violence, but also, like, what did he do or not do for the women who reported? Often they report to someone in athletics because that's the space that they feel most comfortable in. So there's lots of questions that didn't even get remotely broached when they hired this man. And I think that's, for me, the that is often my frustration around this issue, is we just, like, people will literally ignore it. And I feel like that's just so not, it's not useful, it's not productive, nothing will ever change under that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you on that point. But you did bring up some ways that maybe we can have a productive conversation about these topics in your article on ESPNW. You talked about coaches maybe stepping up to the plate a little bit and trying to inject this issue into every day in their jobs. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. If we're going to, you know, I'm always trying to think, like, if we're really going to change this, like, what has to happen? And I do think coaches have to play an important role in this, and we know that they can, and I think that's very important to say. So I talk in the article about Futures Without Violence. They have a program called Coaching Boys Into Men. It's mainly for high school, though it can be adapted to middle school and to college if a coach is interested. And they help coaches do this work, like, integrate these conversations directly into the coaching schedule, right? So they, if a coach is interested and they want to do this, what Futures Without Violence has found is that it's incredibly effective. Like, if the coach is on board and willing to do, which is pretty minimal work, right, maybe 15 minutes a week with their students, their student athletes, it has an effect, a positive one. So coaches can do this if they want to, and there are people ready to help them do it and do it well. And so I just really do think if we're going to really change the culture, it's always going to start from the top, especially, you know, in a team situation like this. Like, we love to talk about how influential coaches are on their players until the guys do something bad. Mm-hmm. And then we want to say, oh, no, that's isolated, has nothing to do with the coach. And it can't be, both of those things can't be true. And I do believe that they have influence, and I think they should be using it for good. And that would be amazing.
I like how hopeful you are that there are all these steps that really, you know, should be taken. And I feel like it just, you put in so much work and it's really admirable. And, you know, we're just such big fans of yours that you do this emotionally exhausting work on behalf of so many people. So I have a question for you about your new book that you told us about at the beginning of the interview. Can you give us a tip for how to love sports when they don't love you back?
We need these tips.
I think it depends, right? Like a lot of what we're figuring out in the book is for individual issues, sort of where someone draws the line, like what would have to change for them to be okay with whatever's going on. I think part of it is like accepting that nothing's ever going to be perfect, right? People are always going to commit violence off field. We're going to be let down. There's going to be bad choices, those sorts of things. I think it's always about sort of picking your own line and deciding what you're okay with. And there's nothing easy about that. And it's terrible. Like, I barely watch college football anymore, football in general. Like, I just have such a hard time, and I feel really sad about it a lot of the time. And I think that's sort of the struggle at this point for a lot of fans. It's figuring out, like, how to manage all the things we now know about the sports that we love so much. So I wish I had a more definitive, maybe in a couple months.
Well, we'll definitely have to read the book. This kind of reporting sometimes rubs our field of journalists that are mostly men the wrong way, that it might be like a story that is not going to make a lot of people look good. Is there a way that you encourage yourself to keep reporting those stories?
Ooh, I mean, yes, I absolutely, every single time before I publish something around this issue, I get very nervous about what people will say in response to it. Especially reported stuff where you're going to go in on a university or something like that. Fans are rough, man. But, you know, I think a lot of it for me at this point is that survivors contact me all the time. And I just sort of really do hang on to those notes, those messages, the things that they tell me about how important this work is to them. And also, you know, when other journalists contact me, and they tell me that they're going to change how they think about domestic violence the next time they have to report on it. You know, those are, you know, the next time they get in front of a coach, they're going to ask a different question. I think about those things a lot. And I also try very hard. One of the keys to success in this business is when you find a good editor, you like hang on to them. You like latch in. And I have to trust my editor. Like, my editor at ESPN is phenomenal. And she always leads me in the right direction. And the three things I've written with her have been spectacular. And so, like, this time around, with the piece that I just wrote, like, I didn't know how confident I was in it. And I trusted that she would get me there. And she really did. Like, she deserves, like, byline credit. And so that's part of it, too, is, you know, trusting the team that I'm working with to put out a good product. And so far, it's worked out pretty well. So... I absolutely am worried most of the time about doing this work.
Well, I can promise you that none of it obviously is in vain. And I think I can speak for all of us saying that we are really proud of you and what you've done and the voice that you've given to people who didn't have one. And I'm sure that you've heard a million thank yous, but, you know, thank you from us as well to, you know, someone to look up to who's doing scary things, and you're really brave and you're paving the way for our younger women as well. You can follow Jessica on Twitter. She's at SCATX. Her book is available anywhere she says that is convenient, perhaps Amazon. You could go there and many other places. And How to Love Sports When They Don't Love You Back is coming out next year. Is that correct, Jessica?
I think maybe 2018.
2018. Okay.
What a long way.
Almost to next year. We're almost there, but we are really, really appreciative of your time, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, down the left field line. Way back in. Goal!